Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Quran class, we're recording. We're going to talk about the names of Allah. The names of Allah. Did you give everybody five tickets?
Yeah, except for her because she came in late or something, so she only got one ticket.
Yeah. Okay. She give her four, so give her three more.
Okay.
Oh, did I take the tickets away from her because?
No, she came in late.
Okay.
So
just take one. Just take one ticket from her. Okay? It's going to be good money. Okay? And it's going to be roughly every quarter. Like two times the fall semester and two times the spring. Okay? I might do it like in the middle. Okay, so the ones who are going to get gifts are the highest two. The highest
two.
Top two. If we have a tie on the first, if we have a tie on the highest level, okay, then all of them get gifts. Like if I have five ties, then five get money. Same amount. Okay. Okay, so we're going to talk about the names of Allah. The names of Allah, learning about the names of Allah is literally the most important thing in this whole entire universe and existence. You tell me, why? Why? Well, how come? It is the most important things in this universe. Can you think of? Because if you learn these names and learn what to do with these names, then you go with Jannah. Okay? Why? Because Allah will be pleased with you, and then you go to Jannah. You got it? Okay. Question. You go to Jannah because you did good deeds only? Or, you know, to go to Jannah, you need to do good deeds only? Huh?
You also need Allah's mercy.
You need Allah's mercy. Good job. So what is the point here I'm trying to make? I'm trying to say it doesn't matter how good your deeds are, huh? You need Allah's mercy to go to? Huh? Exactly. He got the story right. So there was this guy who spent all his life worshiping Allah and doing good deeds. And then in the day of judgment, Allah tells him, go to Jannah because of my mercy. Go to Jannah because of my mercy. So the guy says, no, Ya Allah, I go to Jannah because of my deeds. I go to Jannah because of my good deeds. Okay, so now Allah wanted to teach him a lesson. Allah brought the scales of justice. Allah ordered the scales of justice to be brought, okay? And then Allah did all his good deeds in one side and the favor of having eyes in the other side. Guess which one?
The eyesight.
The eyesight. So the favor of eyesight was more than everything he did. Then Allah said, okay, put the favor of having ears on one side and that all deeds he did, he made. Huh? Guess what prevailed? Yes, the ears. So Allah said, take my slave to hellfire because of his deeds. So they said, Ya Allah, forgive me, please. Take me to Jannah by your mercy. Take me to Jannah because of your mercy. So Allah said, take my slave to Jannah because of my mercy. So now, your good deeds qualifies you not to Jannah, qualifies you to the mercy of Allah. And the mercy of Allah will take you where? To Jannah. You got it? Okay. So, the deeds will not qualify you to Jannah. The deeds will qualify you to the mercy of Allah. The mercy of Allah will take you to Jannah. Got it? Okay. So, why is it so important to learn about the names of Allah? Because what happens, okay, and the day of judgment depends about how, if you know the names of Allah or not, and what did you do about it. Okay, How did you do about knowing them? After knowing them, what did you do? Okay. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, this is a hadith, that Allah has 99 names. 100 less one. That's what he said. Okay? Allah has... Yes. Thank you. Allah has 99 names. 100 less one. Whomsoever knows these names, whomsoever knows these names, okay, Allah will take him or her to Jannah. Allah will take him or her to Jannah. So that's the hadith that we count on. And this is why we learn. Now, how many names Allah has out of the 99 names? For our existence, we need only 99 names for our existence. But Allah has more than the 99. Allah has how many names? No. Infinite number of names. Allah has infinite number of names. However, those 99s are the ones that are important to our existence. So don't you think that Allah has all 99 names and that's it? No. Relative to our existence. He has other names relevant to other kinds of existence. Okay. There are two kinds of names of Allah. The first kind is called the names of beauty, the names of beauty. And the other ones are called the names of greatness. The names of beauty and the names of greatness. So, the names of beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. From the verse that you memorized, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Okay? هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Okay. Okay. Can you pick up a name of, you know, name of beauty that describes Allah as a kind, as generous, as forgiving? Names of greatness describe Allah as Al-Khaliq. Huh? Al-Ghafoor is a name of beauty, the name of beauty, mashallah. Ghafoor means the most forgiving. Al-Wadud, that's what you meant? Al-Wadud, that's it. Wadud means loving. He loves us, he loves his creation. So he doesn't need us, but he's loving us and he seeks our love by giving us gifts and favors. As-Salam.
Ar-Rahman.
Ar-Rahman. All these are names of beauty. Names of beauty. Okay? Now, from the ayah, did anybody say Rahim from the ayah? Okay. So, now, how about the names of greatness? What are the names of greatness? The names of greatness are the ones that chose Allah as a mighty, powerful king. Mighty, powerful king.
Al-Malik.
Huh?
Al-Malik.
Al-Malik. Huh? Names of beauty.
Al-Khaliq.
Greatness, Al-Malik.
Al-Khaliq.
Al-Khaliq.
Al-Bari.
Al-Bari.
Al-Musawwir.
Al-Musawwir.
Al-Ghaffar.
Al-Ghaffar is the name of beauty.
Al-Qahhar.
No, it's a name of, yes, it's a name of greatness. Al-Qahhar. Huh? Al-Jabbar, name of greatness.
Al-Mutakabbir.
All these names, we'll learn about them. Okay? So far, if I ask you, how many kinds of names Allah has?
Infinite.
Actually infinite. But how many relevant to us?
99
names. 100 less 1. Okay. Now, how many types of names we have?
Two.
Two types. How many types?
Oh,
two. Two types. What are these two types? Names of?
Beauty
and names of?
Greatness.
Names of beauty shows Allah's kindness. Names of beauty shows Allah's kindness. Names of greatness shows Allah's greatness, Allah the mighty, Allah the powerful. Okay, Allah the king. Now, how about if we can anybody share these names of greatness with Allah? No, that's right. No, no one can share these names with Allah. No one can say I am God. Then he's trying to share with Allah the name God, which is al-ilah, God. No one can say I am the Most High, because in doing this, then this person is claiming to him or herself then one of the names of greatness, which is the Most High. No one can say my name is the most, or I am the most compelling, the most compelling, the ones who compel, the one who compels, because that's a name of greatness. Got it? Okay. So if somebody just trying to adopt one of the names of greatness of Allah, what is going to happen to that person?
Punishment.
Yeah, it's going to be punished, really, in this life and in the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listen to this hadith. Greatness is my gown. Greatness is my gown. Being the Most High is my dress. Whomsoever tries to share these names with me, I break his back and I don't care. You got this part? In other words, Allah is saying, anybody who tries to share with me these names of greatness, I am going to destroy him. I am going to destroy him. Okay, how about if you believe, if you treat someone the way Allah should have been treated? If you say there is someone else is al-Khaliq, the creator, then you did something called mushrik, shirk. You did something called shirk. So what is shirk? It's to believe that someone else deserves the names of greatness. So you treat somebody, for example, can you go to the president of the United States and ask for rain? Huh? Rain? Bring rain? Can you? Somebody's losing the ticket. Ticket. Out. Bring out the ticket. You didn't talk? Okay. Two. You have one left? Oh, you did memorize, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Can you go ask someone for rain? If you do that, they have committed something called shirk. Shirk means making equal. So you are making of someone equal to Allah, because you're supposed to ask who for rain? Allah. If you don't ask Allah and ask someone else, like the President of the United States or the whatever big person out there, and you ask that person for rain, then you're treating this person the way Allah should have been treated. Allah should have been treated. And this is when you get in trouble, because you become mushrik. You become mushrik. Okay? If you treat somebody else the way Allah should have been treated, then you become mushrik. So there is a sin called the sin of shirk. If you're mushrik, then you have committed the sin of shirk. Shirk is the noun. Mushrik is the adjective. Okay? So the noun is shirk. Okay. Now, shirk, in the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive sins that you repent. Allah would sure forgive the sins that you repented from. So if you make a repentance, you're guaranteed 100% that Allah is going to what? Wash away the sin. Erase the sin. Forgive the sin. Right? Got it? Okay. What if you do it again and repent?
You can ask for repentance and then he will forgive you
again. And Allah will forgive you again. What if you do it for the third time?
Allah will forgive you.
Huh? Three times in a row? How about four times?
No matter how many times.
It doesn't matter. Allah says that I will not stop forgiveness until my slave stops asking for forgiveness or repenting. So when you stop, Allah stops. If you keep going, Allah will keep erasing it. Now, if you do it the first time, Allah erases the sins of the first time. If you do it the second time, would you have two sins or one?
One.
How about the first one?
Huh?
Is it erased? So if you do it again, Allah will not bring the old ones. See how nice is he? So if you get one sin, so that's one. You ask for forgiveness, so that's zero. You do it again, so it's one. You ask for forgiveness, it's zero. Allah doesn't add up. Allah doesn't add up the sins. Why? Because Allah is to, he is in our side. He wants us to go to Jannah. That's what makes him pleased. He doesn't want us to go to hell because that will make him displeased. He's displeased from us going to hell and he's pleased with us going to Jannah. So when you please Allah, okay, you go to the Jannah. You go to Jannah. You qualify for the mercy of Allah and you go to Jannah. Okay. Now, in the day of judgment, there are sins that you did not repent from. Sins without repentance. Okay. Would Allah forgive them?
No. Yeah, some.
Huh?
Some if you forgive them.
Huh? No. Sins that you made and you didn't repent from, huh?
If you improved and
And you didn't improve.
And you didn't improve, then it depends on what the sin is. But if it's shirk, you won't be forgiven. But if it isn't shirk, then Allah will forgive.
You said it right.
Mm-hmm. If you continue on with the sin you're doing, then he won't forgive you. But if you stop, then he will forgive you, but if
you
committed an act of shirk, then he won't forgive you until you ask for repentance.
Okay. Okay. You both are said it right, exactly the way I want to say it. I said that, you said that, I'm going to make it clear, just to repeat what you said clearly. In the day of judgment, you come with two kinds of sins. One, that you repented from, and this is forgiven. You're done with this. The other one, you didn't repent from. Either you forgot, or whatever prevented you from repenting. Allah may forgive them. Allah may forgive them. Any guarantees? No guarantees, but he may forgive them. Why there are no guarantees? Because you didn't make repentance. You got it? However, okay. However, like what's your name?
Sudaba.
Like Sudaba said, she said, if you do shirk, it's guaranteed not forget. Okay? So if you do a sin and repent, you're guaranteed forgiveness. If you do a sin and you don't, if you do shirk, then you're guaranteed
no
forgiveness. Okay? Do you see these two extremes? What about in the middle? If you make sins, they are not shirk, and you didn't repent, then it's up to Allah. He might decide just to forgive all of them. He might decide to forgive half, to forgive. He decides based on his knowledge and wisdom and kindness. He decides. Got it? Now, why wouldn't people repent from sins?
They forget about them, or they kind of,
yes,
that it's not exactly their mistake.
Exactly. Either forget about them or give themselves silly, ridiculous excuse. So it's like, yeah, when you steal money from him, and then you justify it to yourself and say, oh yeah, he deserves his money to be stolen. He's a bad guy. So you give excuses to yourself. You excuse yourself by silly, ridiculous excuses. Silly, ridiculous excuses. Okay? There's a, an eraser here. Yeah.
I don't know, I tried to build the marking sites from the eraser.
Okay. So, the bottom line of this whole discussion is to reach to one point that shirk is not
forgiven
unless you repent. Okay? What is shirk related to the names of Allah? Huh?
I have a question. So if there's someone who does shirk over and over and keeps on asking for forgiveness, will they be forgiven?
Yes. If a person did the worst, most horrible thing you can ever imagine, and he asks for forgiveness, Allah will grant him forgiveness. Can you think of an example of a person who did awful things? Huh?
Wait, the person who did horrible things?
The person, a specific story about a person who did awful sins and Allah forgave them.
The guy who killed 100 people? Huh?
That guy.
What?
Never mind.
The guy who killed 100 people. And he did repent and Allah took him to Jannah. So it doesn't matter how awful is your sin. Shirk. All the companions of Prophet Muhammad were mushrikeen. Yes.
Is killing someone shirk?
No.
Or is it categorical?
It's a major sin.
Comparing someone to Allah.
Yeah.
If you kill someone, you're just believing in Allah. You're just believing in Allah.
Yeah. So what would killing someone
go? It's a major sin. And major sins get you to, are most likely not forgiven without repentance. Most likely they are not forgiven.
What other major sins are in that category?
From what category?
Like killing someone.
Killing someone is not an act of shirk.
I know it's not an act of shirk, but like what else would be given? Yeah.
Not wearing hijab, for example, that's a major sin.
So,
Gossiping and causing trouble between people, that's a major sin. Making an abortion with no medical need. Ticket here. Making an abortion without medical need. Making abortion. Did I say abortion? Yeah, making an abortion without medical excuse. That's a major sin. There's a lot of stealing is a major sin. You know, one of the worst ever major sins, one of the worst ever, lying and testifying, when you're testifying, when you lie during testimony, when you go to the court or go somewhere and lie, you're called to be a witness. If you are being a witness and you lie, then that's one of the worst major sins. Because when you lie, okay, people lose their rights. Like, for example, you go, there is an intersection, and then you got a car accident at the intersection. It is the fault of the person who ran the red light, right? Now, how can we tell that this person ran the red light, not the other person? By calling witnesses. So the testimony of the witness will determine whether it's your fault or the other person's fault. So if the witness decides to lie, then you, the non-guilty person will be considered to be guilty. So, and for example, during court, if they are trying a murderer, there be a person who killed, but that person was innocent, he didn't kill. Your testimony can send him to jail because if you testify that you have seen him kill him. So false testimony is awful, is terrible, is the worst thing you can ever do is provide a false testimony. Okay, so the conclusion of whatever we have learned so far is that if you treat someone the way Allah is to be treated, then you have committed the sin of shirk. Now, why would somebody treat other things the way Allah is to be treated? Why did people worship idols. Any reasons? Why did people... go ahead.
People worshipped idols because they believed that the idols brought rain, but instead it was actually a shaitan that tricked them to thinking that the idols were able to bring rain.
That's right.
And there's more to it.
Yeah.
Other reasons.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wasn't there a story after Prophet Idris? Idris died?
Yes.
So then he had a few companions.
Yes.
And they were leading the
exactly.
followers.
Yes.
And then after they died, Shaitan tricked the people into building mm-hmm. statues of them.
That's right.
Then after they made those statues, they're like, oh, go over there and like offer. And
yeah.
Then it turned out full-scale idols.
And then people started to believe in them because they could actually see them.
Yes.
And
yes.
So they thought that it was real.
Yes.
Some narrow-minded people believe that maybe Allah was unable to hear their prayers, so maybe if they prayed to the idols would transmit their message to Allah.
All of you said the right answer, but this one was the one I'm looking for. Go ahead.
So I was going to say that when I was researching for the questions for the month last night, I came upon this article like stating that like jinns would possess idols while making them like drink milk or like bleed blood in order for people to... commit acts of shirk to like because they actually believe that the idol is actually like responding to them.
There is no evidence of this. Somebody wrote an article and he dreamed up an article. That's there's no proof of that. So whenever we talk about the unseen world, which is angels and Allah and shaitans and jinn, we stick with what we have because we can't reason what's going on over there. Okay, so she said that it's an insult to Allah because you're saying that Allah, that you're saying Allah is too big to listen to your prayers. You are too small for Allah to know about you. Okay, you're too, it's like a big king who doesn't know, you know, the low class people. You're saying that Allah doesn't know about me. So, you go to this idol. The idol, you say that the idol is big enough to get the attention of Allah and small enough to listen. You got it? So, they are not saying the idol is Allah. No. They are saying the idol is a middle god. A middle god between me and Allah. The idol will listen to me and then will tell Allah about my needs. And tell Allah about my needs. Why is that? Because Allah doesn't care about us and He doesn't hear our prayers because we're too little to get the attention of Allah. We're too small to get the attention of Allah. That's an insult. Why?
Because He can hear and see everything.
Exactly.
Well, He knows everything.
He doesn't only know your name.
He knows
everything about you. Do you know that if there is a tree leaf in the middle of the jungle, in the middle of the dark night, fell down from the tree, a leaf from the tree fell down, Allah will know about it. Allah will know which tree it is and how fast it landed. Where did it land? And where did it come from? And when is it going to dissolve into earth or disintegrate it into earth? And how long it will take it to disintegrate? All these details Allah knows. Now let me ask you a question. How come Allah knows all these details?
Because He's the
what?
All-knowing.
Huh?
All-knowing.
Okay.
Because He created it, He knows what's going to happen. Well, He knows what's going to happen in the future and what happened in the past. Even if you have free will, He'll know what happens.
But why does He care about these little details?
Because the little details make the big thing. They kind of like... It's like even the tiniest of like things that happen on earth like change everything.
Okay. You had something? You had to raise your hand? Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows these things because He's the one that make it happen. He's the one that what?
Make it happen.
Does He know what He's doing?
Yes.
So Allah made it happen. He knows what He's doing. Then He made it happen, and He knows what He's doing, right? Who made this whole thing? He. Who's making the leaf fall down? He. Okay? So, if he knows what he's doing, then go ahead. If he knows what he's doing. Okay. So, basically, every tribe in the Arabia, every tribe had a middle god. And they go and pray to this middle god. And they believe that this middle god is going to talk to Allah and present the case to Allah. And the middle god is the one that will listen to us. Now, Allah says that whatever is for Allah goes to the idols. Whatever worship for the idols, go to the idols. Whatever worship goes to me, it goes to the idols as well. So I'm getting nothing. Allah is getting nothing. You understand? So if you slaughter a lamb for the sake of Allah, and you slaughter this lamb in front of the idol, and you say, here, I slaughtered this lamb, you go tell Allah that I slaughtered the lamb and ask him for this and that. Okay? So, who is getting the slaughtering? The idol. Allah is not getting anything out of it. Okay? So, basically, it's... And why would people want to put middle gods? Why the evil people came up with the idea of middle gods? I'll tell you.
So then they can get money, people will have to come somewhere in the center of peace because the bad ones are always fighting.
Exactly. Because they want to have money and power. How would they have money and power? By claiming that they are the servants of the idol. And by claiming they are the servants of the idol, okay, they get money and power. I'll tell you how. Let's say I am pretending that I'm pretending to be, let's say we have a middle god here. This middle god here. His name is Cuckoo. His name is Cuckoo. And I believe that this cuckoo is small enough to listen to me, big enough to get the attention of Allah and deliver my request. And then if I claim that I am the servant of this boo-boo. Okay. So if you want to slaughter something for boo-boo, who gets it?
Boo-boo.
No, I get it because I'm the boo-boo. Can't talk, can't bring Quran, can't do nothing. So I am the servant's boo-boo. So I say, in the name of boo-boo, vote for this person. In the name of boo-boo, pay that much money. In the name of boo-boo, I ask you, marry this person. In the name of boo-boo. So I am talking on the behalf of boo-boo, right? Boo-boo doesn't demand anything. But who is talking on the behalf of boo-boo? I am. I am the servant of boo-boo. So now I get power and money. So that's why people brought in the idols. The first one who brought idols to Kaaba, his name is Amr ibn Luhay. He's the one who brought these ideas and brought the idols to Kaaba for the Arab people to worship them. I'll see you inshallah next week. Please leave your envelope.